Jim, whenever you're ready, you can start.
Okay.
Amen. And thank you, Jim, for that beautiful prelude. Good morning, friends. This is the day that God is making. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that God is creating us anew and giving us new mercy and new care for the day. So let us rejoice that we are given new breath today and a new chance. I want to welcome each of you to this time of worship. I want to give a special welcome to those of you who are visiting for the first time. We're glad you're here. My name is Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I'm the pastor here at Tabernacle United Church. And though we're not in the building together, we are gathering here together in this spiritual space to worship God and to remember who we are. And so we're glad each of you are here and are joining us and are continuing to join us as we start this morning. Welcome, welcome, and especially to those of you who are just joining us for the first time. If you'd like to fill out a visitor card, you can do that. We'll put the visitor card link in the chat box. So you can click on that and fill out a visitor card. Let us know that you're here. We would love to connect further with you. You can also just introduce yourself in the chat box and let us know your name and that you're here. And we'd love to welcome you and say hello as well. I have a few items to announce this morning, so I want to just draw your attention to some things that are happening today. First of all, just today, it is our communion service today, the first Sunday of the month, and so we will be celebrating communion a little later on in the service. We invite you to bring whatever elements you have ready in your home. There is you just to set aside something to drink, something to eat that can be set aside as sacramental for that time. And along those lines, Shell has asked if you have a communion table set up or if you just have the elements ready, that you would take a picture of that and send that. You can send a picture of your table or your elements that you've prepared. You can send a note or email to her or text that picture to her, and she's going to use that in the weekly newsletters. So feel free to do that. We thought that would be a nice way to kind of let each other see what we're doing and what elements we're using for communion. So we thank Shell for that as well. Also today, we're going to be gathering after the service for coffee hour. So if you'd like to stay and chat and just connect, you can stay for the coffee hour time. We'll also have an opportunity to go into two different breakout rooms. We'll have a room that's particularly centered on welcoming visitors, welcoming folks who are new and want to connect and learn a little bit more about the church, but also just get to know each other. There'll be a welcome visitors room, and then there will also be a room for more in-depth sermon discussion. So if you'd like to talk or go a little bit deeper with the sermon today, you can go into that room. So there will be two breakout rooms, or you can just stay in the main room to connect and chat. Finally, just a quick run through of our our gathering opportunities this week. Tuesday and Thursday, 8:30 in the morning, we gather for prayer. Wednesday at 5:30, we have our Lenten Bible study, where we're studying the healing stories in Jesus's got in the healing ministry of Jesus in Mark's gospel. That's on Wednesday at 5:30. We also have a happy hour on Fridays at 7 p.m. if you want to just join and chat and get to know people. So lots going on today and throughout this week. But for now, let us rest into this time. Let's open up our hearts and let's worship God together. Welcome.
I'm Deborah Burnham. My pronouns are she, hers. I'd like you to join me in the call to worship. Come into this space where our bodies are far away from each other. Come into this unbounded space where our spirits can touch. Come into this time when we can hear each other's words of prayer and praise. Come here ready to be healed.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And I invite you to sing and celebrate this morning, starting with Living Hope by Phil Wickham. I remember many years ago, 2 years ago, Marquise brought this song to us, and we've been singing it since. This morning, let's sing and celebrate the Christ that sets us all free. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The Lamb of God calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declare the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. This next song, Oceans, was brought to us by Megan Gibson, and we haven't sung it in a while. So if this song is unfamiliar to you, I invite you to learn it and listen as we sing it together, and I think you'll find it easy to learn. Oh, it's not Oceans, actually. It's a different song. It is Jesus Knows. This is a song that I wrote based on a sermon by Pastor Katie, where she talked about Jesus understanding the pain of the people, understanding it because Jesus walked the earth among us. Let's sing this together. It matters to me that Jesus was born. He entered the world as a little child. It matters to me that Jesus taught. He ate with the sinner and the defiled. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus hears us. Does he know our pain? Yes, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. He lived and died upon the earth, and from suffering he arose. Jesus knows, Jesus knows. And he's calling us to live again, amen. Jesus knows, Jesus knows. He walked the earth, the path that we trod. It matters to me that Jesus doubted on the cross. He called out to God. And when I wonder if Jesus hears us, my soul sings this reply. Yes, Jesus knows. Suffering he arose. Jesus knows, Jesus knows. And he's calling us to live again, amen. Jesus knows, Jesus knows, Jesus knows.
Please join me in the opening prayer. God, we are tired and sick and broken, but we are here in your holy space. Speak to us. Offer us yet another chance to understand your healing power. Help us to use words that we may have forgotten. Help us. Grant us mercy, mercy, mercy. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God, we confess that we need healing. We confess that we balk at asking for your help. We resist the complicated notion that healing is complicated. We want the quick cure, the instant solution. We want to be healed without having to answer uncomfortable questions about our brokenness. We forget that healing is complicated. We forget that healing is not entirely in our control. Because we are stubborn creatures, creatures of contradiction, we also forget that we cannot control our own healing. God of patience, help us understand healing. Forgive us for assuming it is impossible. Forgive us for thinking that we can heal ourselves. Forgive us for not asking for your help. Forgive us for failing to trust you. The God who forgives with patience and mercy will not forget us. The God who heals with compassion will not leave us wounded and alone. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Now take a moment to receive and give the peace of Christ. So you can go to, you can unmute, or you should have the opportunity to unmute and go to gallery view. Let's greet each other with the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you this morning.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Everyone.
Also with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace
be everyone.
Peace be with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace.
Peace, everyone.
Peace be with you all.
She's a good friend.
Hi, everybody.
Peace be with you.
She's been coming.
Good morning, Auntie Laura.
Good morning, Levi. I see all my feelings. I see you. I see you,
Peace to you, Katie.
Peace, Pax.
Everyone.
Peace be with you, Pax.
Peace be with you, too.
Hi, dead there.
Julia.
And Michelle. Hi. Hello.
Peace.
Hello.
Hi.
Peace, Nicole. Peace, Elliot.
Peace, Sarah. Peace be with you, Mike.
Hi, Mike. Peace to you.
Peace, Laura.
Hi, Ann.
You.
Lynn and Andy. Hello.
Hello.
Peace, hello.
Good morning, Jim.
Peace, Julie.
Morning.
Hello, Geneva. Hi.
Peace to Chris Page with that.
Hi, Vic and Charlene.
Earphones.
Peace, Elizabeth and Ray.
Hi, Deb.
Peace, Boogie and Nick.
Peace,
Jean and Amy.
Peace be with you.
Pastor, what do you have on the wall behind you?
That's new. That's true.
Yeah. All about the John and Swanson work.
It's Ariana.
It's John Swanson's. August Swanson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's another one waiting you.
That's great.
Hey, Sarah.
Be with you.
Hi, Deb. So good to see you.
I'm here.
Peace, Jim.
Please join me in listening and considering the words of the psalm. God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's mercy toward those who fear God. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. As a parent pities children, so God pities those who fear. For God knows our frame. God remembers that we are dust. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in our service where we invite children and the young at heart to come closer to hear the children's time. And if you're one of the folks who wants to be in a smaller circle that will join together, you can go down to the reactions button at the bottom of your Zoom screen and press raise hand, and we will put you in that smaller circle. Let's sing to invite the children and the young at heart forward.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
Good morning, young people, and good morning, everyone. My name is Nicole, and my pronouns are she and her, and this is Elliot, and his pronouns are he and him. So hello, especially to the young people that we see there. I see Levi. Can you wave to us, Levi? And I see Tonio. Can you wave to us? And I see, what other young people do you see, Elliot?
Robert.
Robert, can you wave to us, Robert? And is Robert's sister right there with him, Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of young at heart people. If you're a young at heart person, we'll wave to you too. Nice to see you today. So it is okay by me if any of the young people want to unmute and share something as we go during children's time today. And it is good by me and Elliot if anyone wants to do some body movement while we talk today, because that's what we're talking about. I have been thinking a lot about talking with God lately because it's Lent. And frankly, because I've been feeling a little overwhelmed lately. And one of the things I do when I'm overwhelmed is I talk to God. At church, we call talking to God prayer. And I thought we could talk about what we do with our bodies when we pray. So, Elliot, have you seen people pray? And what do they do with their bodies when they pray?
Nope.
No? Other young people, have you ever seen people pray, and what do they do with their bodies when they pray? Go ahead. You can make the motion with your body. You don't even need to raise your hand. Just make the motion with your body. What do people do when they pray? Has anybody seen people pray like this? Like with their hands together?
Nope.
Okay, go ahead. Elizabeth has an idea.
Okay, let's see, Elizabeth.
You can calm your body with your neck.
With your breath?
Uh-huh.
Can you show us?
I see you using your breath to calm your body. That's excellent. I love that idea. Sometimes at church, we use a couple other motions. And actually, it's communion today. So my guess is you might see Pastor Katie make these motions later. And they're beautiful and they connect us to Christians throughout history and throughout time. So there's this motion.
Dave!
Elliot, have you ever seen someone pray like this? With this motion?
Nope.
Or seen someone pray.
You look like a way balance. Wave my arms.
Is there a chance you could help me with this?
Okay.
Okay. Have you ever seen someone pray like this? Or like this? What do we do when we bring our communion elements together? Do we sometimes hold our hands out and say prayers?
This.
So we might go like this. You might see Pastor Katie pray like this. Now, each of those body motions can mean something different. Like, what do you think we mean if we do a motion like this? Or a motion like this, or a motion like this? Could we mean different things? What could this one, which one do you think has a meaning? Any of these?
Probably this one, because you're kind of talking to God, I would say.
So this one, maybe, I think also, like, if you do this motion, it's kind of like, I'm being serious with God. I have something important to tell you. I think sometimes this one is about, come to us, God. Come, be close.
And this one, I'm guessing, praise us or something.
Okay. Yep. Or offering a blessing. Now, I sometimes pray while I'm doing this motion. Can you watch and guess what this motion is? What do you think I'm doing?
No.
Here, let's pretend I have something like this. What am I doing?
I don't get.
Oh, I'm writing. I like to pray sometimes with my journal and while I'm writing. How about like this? What's this motion?
Singing?
A lot of people love to pray when they're singing. Sometimes I even think about praying while I'm running or walking. Now, what about this motion? What do you think I'm doing here?
Talking to a moose.
Well, we could pray talking to a moose. But what do we do sometimes when we really want to bring things to our ear? What's that?
Hear.
So that might be a motion to say, God, I really want to listen. We might actually move our bodies to do that. So let's see. Levi, Tonio, Robert, do any of you have a motion today that you might want to use to talk to God? It could be a little motion or a big motion. Elizabeth, if you're still there too, you're welcome to do a motion to say something to God. Do you want to do a motion of saying something to God today?
No, I'm good.
Well, I think sometimes we can do a motion, and then just like our written prayers, we could say, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And sometimes
this is my motion.
That's your motion to God?
Running backwards. I like to pray while I'm doing karate sometimes.
Do you want to show everyone a karate move? Elliot has been learning to use his body in very specific and disciplined ways. Do you want to show a karate move?
The whole Chinese blocking system, or just like?
Just do like two little moves, because the whole blocking system is kind of long. Now, Elliot, show us what you do at the end of karate class. They always say sit like a black belt, and this is sitting like a black belt. and they do a meditation, which is a lot like talking to God in a prayer. Do you sometimes talk to God in that position? Mm-hmm. Well, I encourage all of us to use our bodies today and this week to do prayers. Levi, I see some karate motions. Very nice. So we might say also to body movements, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Because sometimes words are hard. And it's easier to do body motions.
I tried to do this flying side kick. I couldn't do it.
Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Ow.
Amen. Thank you, Lucy. Thank you, Nicole, for that, and Elliot for leading us in that time. What a great reminder of the many forms and ways that we can talk to God and commune with God. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So let us hear what the Spirit is saying through this story today. After a few days, Jesus went back to Capernaum, and people heard that he was at home. So many gathered that there was no longer space, not even near the door. Jesus was speaking the word to them. Some people arrived, and four of them were bringing to him a man who was paralyzed. They couldn't carry him through the crowd, so they tore off part of the roof above where Jesus was. And when they had made an opening, they lowered the mat on which the paralyzed man was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man who was paralyzed, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Some legal experts were sitting there muttering among themselves, "Why does he speak this way? He's insulting God. Only the one God can forgive sins." Jesus immediately recognized what they were discussing, and he said to them, "Why do you fill your minds with these questions? Which is easier, to say to a paralyzed person, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your bed, and walk'? But so you will know that the human one has authority on the earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Jesus raised him up, and right away he picked up his mat and walked out in front of everybody. They were all amazed and praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? God, we thank you for this story. We pray, O God, that we would be touched by it this morning, and that we would be invited in some particular way in our own lives into your healing presence. God, I ask that you would speak through me this morning, and that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. Amen. When I was working on this sermon this week, I felt the Spirit leading me to dwell with a personal question first. And that question was simply, remember a time when I, Katie, have experienced the forgiveness of God. What did that feel like in my own life? And I remembered an experience I had a couple years ago. It was an unexpected last minute trip to a worship service at the Lutheran Seminary here in Philadelphia. I had been doing some work in the library there, and I saw on the on a poster an advertisement for a worship service for End Communion that day, and I decided to go to that I needed to step aside and go to that service. So I went, and I don't remember many details of the service itself, but I remember communion. I remember communion. And I remember when the invitation to come to God's table started, that's when I remember all the details. The invitation came to come to God's table to receive the bread and the wine. And the tears just started flowing just when I heard the invitation. And I realized, and then they started flowing, and then it became, you know, to the point of sort of ugly crying where I couldn't stop myself. And I was embarrassed almost to the point that I felt like I needed to leave because I couldn't kind of gain control. But I really felt like I needed to stay, like I really needed to get to the table. And, but I remember thinking that I was overwhelmed just by being invited, just by being invited to the table. I think I didn't realize until I was sitting there how much I felt I was not worthy to be there. I had my self-confidence, my self-esteem was really low, and I felt overcome with feelings of inadequacy in all of the areas in my life, my personal life, my life with my family, my work, just felt inadequate kind of across the board. And somehow all of that in my body, that translated to I'm not worthy to come to God's table. But I knew I needed to accept the invitation when the time came to taste the bread and to and when the words came to receive the cup of forgiveness, and I tasted that, I knew that I wasn't just tasting the wine, but that I was tasting the healing grace of God in my own life. And I felt a release from those burdens, and I was invited to begin again with a renewed sense of my worthiness that was not based on accomplishments, but just because God had welcomed me. I also realized that day that I hadn't been receiving the cup of forgiveness in quite some time. Like it had been a long time since I had just sat and received this gift of forgiveness and mercy in my own life. The word forgive in Greek means release. It means release. And that's what forgiveness can be. It can be a release from sin, a release from old and destructive modes of being, a release from lies that we tell ourselves about who is worthy and who isn't and what it means to be worthy. The psalmist says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how large God's steadfast love is for us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sins from us. I hadn't tasted God's forgiveness and gift of grace in quite some time, and I didn't know until I was invited to the table again and really received that invitation. I didn't know how much I needed it until that moment. If there's anything that life is teaching me these days about human beings, it is this, that no matter how much we try to do better, no matter how hard we work to be good people, to serve, to be exemplary disciples, no matter how hard we strive to be social justice warriors or diligent in prayer or whatever it is that virtue you are seeking, no matter how much we try, not one of us will be able to stand at the throne of God and God's justice and not be in need of mercy. We all need mercy. We all fail. We all hurt. We all harm. We all fall short of the glory of God, as Paul says. We are all sinners in need of a great physician. Healthy people don't need a doctor, Jesus says. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners. In other words, if you want to become a disciple, Jesus says, you've got to get in touch with your inner sinner, right? Your inner sinner. Your inner sinner is the part of you that is in touch with your own need for forgiveness, your own need for grace, your own need for saving, your own need for healing, your own places of brokenness that you alone cannot fix. Only sinners in touch with their need for help can apply for discipleship, Jesus says. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus because you think mostly other people need help, other people need saving, then get off the Jesus train, right? If you want to become my disciple, you need to get in touch with your own need for healing. You need to return often to the table of grace and forgiveness to be released and set free again and again and again. Don't just go every once in a while. So our story today is about a person who was paralyzed and was brought to Jesus for healing. The crowd we hear is so great that the paralyzed person and his friends, I think that we don't know who they were, his friends or advocates, relatives, whoever they are, they cared for this person. They were carrying him and they couldn't get to Jesus. The crowd was so great. So what do? They get creative and bold. They climb up on the mud roof and they dig a hole in the roof and then they lower their friend down right in the middle of Jesus, where Jesus was teaching. So this is a very disruptive act, by the way. They are deconstructing the building and then interrupting Jesus's preaching just to get their friend into the presence of Jesus, to get their friend the healing and attention that he needs. And notice Jesus doesn't take offense at this at all. In fact, he praises their faith, and I would think the ingenuity of this of the friends. He knows that they are desperate, that they are bold, they are creative, they need to get to healing. Now that's faith, Jesus says, and praises them for their faith. We might expect that, as has been the case with the two other healing stories that we've heard so far, that Jesus would focus on the physical healing of this person, but he doesn't. He doesn't focus on the physical body as the place most in need of healing, but he grants the person forgiveness for their sins. Jesus goes right to the root cause of this man's suffering, for he carries in his being the brunt of religious and social harm. We might ask, why would he be carrying the brunt of religious and social harm? Well, first, we need to remember that in this cultural context, sin was understood to cause disease and physical disability. Either the victim's own sin was to blame or their parents. And so the belief that sin would have caused this man's paralysis permeated the culture and religious beliefs of that time. He would have experienced isolation and alienation as a result. We must also remember, as we have over the past couple weeks, that when looking at Jesus's healing ministry, we see how he is concerned for root causes that force people to be excluded from communities of care and support. Healing was understood, remember, not just primarily about the physical body, but much more holistically, including social structures that create sickness and isolate people. And particularly important for our story today, as we look at Jesus's healing ministry more holistically, Jesus addresses the religious wounds that this man is carrying. He is offering him healing from bad theology. Bad theology, healing from the lie that his disability is God's punishment for his sins. Healing from the lie that this person is any less worthy of God's grace. The deconstruction of the house, the interruption of the preaching, all serve to point to this priority in God's kingdom, which is that God cares tenderly for the wounds of those who bear the brunt of religious and social harm. All of this the deconstruction, the getting him there, it serves to paint this picture of who is centered and prioritized in God's kingdom, where that care and that tender mercy of God is directed first and foremost. Those who suffer in their soul and in their spirit, and yes, in their physical body too, from religious and social harm. This man who is paralyzed bears the weight of social sin and bad theology to the extreme. And he at this very moment becomes the center of Jesus's attention. Child, your sins are forgiven, Jesus says, and releases him from the weight of those lies that ever since his birth, he and his family have been to blame. Jesus goes right to the soul wound caused by the prevailing religious and cultural establishment of the time and offers him release. One of the things that I find remarkable about Jesus's healing ministry, not only then, but throughout the centuries and into the present, is how Jesus heals and liberates despite the religious establishments that proclaim his very name. I'm just going to say that one more time because it's a long sentence. Jesus heals and liberates despite the religious establishments that proclaim his very name. So I want to give an example of how we can see this. For example, think about how enslaved Africans got hold of Jesus's liberating message when they encountered Jesus for themselves and through the Hebrew scriptures. They encountered his liberating message and healing ministry despite white slaveholder Christianity. Despite white church establishment, Black folks found Jesus. And the Black church, by and large, and I say by and large, not in all cases, certainly, but by and large, has been a testimony to the radical liberating gospel of Jesus. White Christianity, unfortunately, has all too often been more like the legal experts in this story, who are so blinded by their own power and their idolatry to whiteness that they can only take offense at the gospel as it's unfolding. And they try desperately to hold on to their own power and authority. But back then and throughout the centuries and into the present, Jesus heals and liberates despite the religious establishments that try to silence him and despite the religious establishments that proclaim his very name. I think about this at TAB a lot with all of us gathered here. One of the things you'll notice, and I'm just like looking across here at all of the faces I see, one of the things you'll notice even as you speak, as we talk to each other and learn about each other's backgrounds, is that most of us here on this Zoom call have and carry wounds from religious establishments, often infused and through the legacy of white slaveholder Christianity. But the wounds many of us carry those wounds. Most of us have been in spaces, and you know what spaces they are, you know that those experiences, where you've needed to contort yourself or pretend that you're not who you are in order to feel safe. you've needed to try to hide parts of yourself, whether that be your queerness, your blackness, your way of expressing yourself, your language. Some of us have actually experienced Christian religious abuse. And I don't use that word lightly, but abuse, harm. Our souls and bodies have been harmed, and we carry those wounds with us. And we carry those wounds into the very presence of God, into the presence of Christ, who is, by the way, not affiliated with any particular denomination. Jesus and his healing ministry is not bound to the constructions and buildings that we've created for him. So I want to invite us this week to do three things. If you're feeling maybe like Nicole, who writes things down, if you're feeling ambitious, you can write them down. If not, it's okay. But I invite you to do three things this week. This week, I'd like you to spend time remembering the people who have carried you to the real Jesus. Who are the people, maybe it's a person or two or 11 people, I don't know, who have dug a hole through the roof for you? Who dug a hole through the roof of fake religious establishments to get you to taste the grace of God and the liberating message of Jesus? Who are these people who have carried you, dug a hole in the roof for you, and brought you to the good news? Thank them this week. Call them out by name. Tell them thank you. Because they are the angels, the advocates, the activists, the messengers who have advocated for you. Thank them. Second, remember that you can be a carrier for others who are longing to experience the tender mercy of God. Who can you help carry into Jesus's presence? What kind of deconstruction and interruption do you need to engage in on behalf of those who have not been given access to Jesus and his liberating message through some factor of our evil system? What kind of deconstructing, interrupting can you be engaged in to allow access to that good news? Third, and this one is really important. If you do this one, I want you to prioritize this one. Spend time at God's table yourself. You'll have an opportunity to do that today at the actual table of God at communion. And maybe you can take a few extra minutes at the table today to sit in receptivity to God's grace in your own life. But don't just do it today or in the worship service today. Go more often to the table of God. And remember that God's table is not bound inside of a building somewhere. God's table can be outside by a tree, by a river, or in a chair in your house. Taste the cup of forgiveness and mercy for you. Because the invitation is there for each of us to find release from our sins and even release from those who have sinned against you. That's a big one. Release from those who have sinned against you. Release from their power and their hold on you. Can you taste and see the goodness of God? Because God does not want you to be in bondage to other people's sins any more than your own. Jesus longs for you to find belonging and release from all that ails you and all that ails our society. Can we taste and see the goodness of our God, who will not abandon us to evil and its many forms, but will find us and we will find God? So I want you to think about those three things. Who has dug a hole through the roof for you? Thank them. Remember, you can be a carrier for others and find time to return to God's mercy table over and over again for release from your own sins and practice releasing even the sins of others that others have inflicted on you. And find God's grace and mercy in your life. Amen.
Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Teach me, Lord, to do the work that you have me do. I won't be afraid, knowing you will see me through. Guide me, Lord, to know the ways that you would have me grow. Call me and I'll go. Use me to do your will. To do the work that you would have me do. I won't be afraid, knowing you will see me through. Guide me, Lord, to know the ways that you would have me grow. Call me and I'll go. Use me. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth. Use me to do your will on earth, to do your will on earth.
At this time, we invite you to consider giving. We give money, we give time, ideas, and energy to the church and to the world. Let us think about the earth this week and how we can care for her more deliberately. This week, let us examine our use of paper. Let's ask ourselves how we might use paper more carefully, more deliberately, even more lovingly. How can we change our use of paper to care for God's creation? You can see in the bulletin specific information for giving.
Going, heaven knows where we are going, but we
within, and we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Where we are going, but we know within, and we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. Oh yeah, yeah. 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 Oh yeah, God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God, accept our offerings. Accept our desire to be kinder to your world. Help us use your creation carefully, carefully. Amen.
Amen. This is the time in our service where we welcome one another to share our prayers, the prayers of our hearts. So you are welcome now to use the chat function if you'd like to reflect on the service or bring a joy or a struggle or any other prayer concern you have before God in our community. And after each prayer is read, and we will join in saying, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we hold one another's prayers, we carry one another's burdens, and we also join in one another's joy and happiness too as we share. So please feel free to just share what's on your heart as we lift up our prayers to God. From Sana. Prayer for Gina, who has a final interview for a job they would really like this week. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jean and Amy. Our congregation has been asked to pray for the Harrell Johnson family as they have lost both their sons to gun violence. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. from Deidre. A prayer to be able to accept that God actually accepts those of us who are gender nonconforming or trans, to be free of the guilt that is part of our lives. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Suzanne, thankful for vaccines and for all those who seek to heal physically and spiritually. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Arda, prayers for what's ahead as I leave this beloved city this coming week and head to Jerusalem. Prayers for strength during this difficult journey. Thank you, Arda. Thanks for letting us know, too. We will be praying for you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Megan, prayers for all of those that are still out of work and struggling to get updates from the unemployment system. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Kristen, thankful to have received my second vaccination yesterday. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sana, prayers for my friend Morgan, whose water broke and she's only 28 weeks pregnant. She has been in the hospital for the last 4 weeks and hoping to stay pregnant for a while longer so the baby can be born healthy. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Amanda, thankful particularly for friendship this week, as it has been quite difficult. Love and friendship are some of God's greatest gifts. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jim, prayers for Victor Price, husband of Bill Heisley, a pastor friend of mine, who is recovering from a heart attack this week. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Lucinda, seeking prayers of forgiveness for all the times I came to Jesus because I thought others needed to change. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gwyneth, prayers for help in anger and grief due to the COVID-19 death of my friend Donna, who had no choice but to return to in-person teaching with unmasked children and caught it from another teacher. So far, 5 of 8 classrooms at the center where I used to work have caught COVID, 4 of them clearly from being at work. Yet I am under a written plan at this time to only express calm and positive tone, body language, and words at my work as I am a leader. I will most likely be fired March 28th for failing to do this. Because I am at a different center, I get no inclusion in the grieving process at the center where we both worked for 6 years. Also seem to be going deaf in the right ear. Prayers for me and my friends, her family, and the children she taught. Thank you, Gwyneth, for sharing that. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And from Sana, prayers for my mother-in-law, Carolyn, who turned 70 yesterday, and for my godmother, Pat, who turned 73 on March 1st. Prayers and blessings for all the March babies. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank each of you for sharing the prayers on your heart, and I invite us to lift up continually the prayers on our hearts, even if we don't have words, but just release those prayers to God in the silence. And as we sing this song together, let us lift up all that has been shared. Now is the time where we come to the table of grace. And so if you need to take a moment to bring elements to your table, you can do that now. I want to remind us that even as we're setting the table for ourselves and to welcome one another in our homes, that we remember that it is God's table, and we are all welcomed to this table, no matter who we are, where we've been, what we've done, what our background is. We are all welcome at the table of God. The risen Christ is the host, and he bids us to be present right where we are to receive the gift of Christ's presence. So let's take a moment now and sing together and prepare our elements to receive. Join me now in, as Nicole pointed out before, we can lay our hands as a blessing on our elements. So join with me now as we pray over these elements. We give you thanks, Holy God, for calling forth creation and forming us from the dark earth and with the breath of your being. We bless you for your continual love and care for every creature. We praise you for forming us in your image and calling us to be your people. Send your spirit of life and love, power and healing upon every table where we share in this feast. May we know communion with you, communion with Jesus, communion with creation, communion with one another, even in this virtual setting. And may this bread that's broken and gathered be gathered in love, and this cup that is poured out be poured out in hope and healing and restoration in our lives. We pray this in the name of our friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed by even his closest friends, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it and said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Every time you eat this, remember me." And in the same way, he took the cup and blessing it and pouring it out, he said, "This cup is the new covenant. It is the cup of release, of forgiveness, and new beginnings. Whenever you drink this, remember me." Let us now, in our many places, receive the body of Christ that is broken for each of us. Let's eat together. Let us now, in our many places, receive the blood of Christ, the cup of forgiveness poured out for you. Let us drink together. us pray. Spirit of Christ, you have blessed our tables and our lives. You have reminded us today, O God, of your many gifts, your saving acts. You've reminded us of those who have dug through the roof for us and carried us to you. You've reminded us of the call to be carriers for others too. And God, you have reminded us of our own need for your mercy and your grace in our lives. And for all these things, God, we give you thanks. May the eating of this meal give us courage to speak faith and act love in our homes and in the streets and wherever we go in your precious world. And may the drinking of this cup renew our hope and increase our love for one another and creation. Oh God, we ask that you would wrap your hopeful presence around all those whose bodies, spirits, and hearts need love and restoration. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And will you join me now in the prayer that Jesus taught us? Let us say together. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This closing song, I Bind My Heart This Tide, was one that I grew up with in the Mennonite tradition. And if you're unfamiliar, I'd invite you just to sing on a drone or just to hum. As you learn the song.
Friends, as you go out this week, go easy. And I mean that in the sense of go easy with your spirit and your soul. Remember that God's healing and God's healing touch and Christ's ministry of healing is tender, and God cares for your wounds. So as much as you can, give yourself that grace. Allow yourself many times to be in the presence of that healing ministry. So go forth knowing that you do not go alone, but that God's love and grace surrounds you this day. Let us go forth to serve God, ourselves, creation, our neighbors. Amen.